As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That's like your opinion, man. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. I was thinking yesterday as I was working out at the J, watching the parking lot and the stuff go by.
Upper like, body, lower body?
I was running at the time, so all body, I guess you could say.
You didn't know if it was pec day.
Pec day is Thursdays. That's today.
What's your arm length? What's your hand size? Yeah. What's your bench press?
So I saw a prospect place for LSU, an offensive tackle, and they had a video of this guy defending his arm length. I mean, like, this is where we are at this point in time. Yeah, we got gentlemen out here defending their arm length. Can you play or can't you play? But anyway, so I was watching the day go by, right? As I'm you know, getting my swole on, and I'm watching the parking lot, as I do every day. It's nothing different. And I have this thought every day, and just our conversation before the show kind of made me think of that. We need more people having Larry David moments in this world now. We need to get back to where Larry David looks at you when you park in a parking spot and like, really? This is what you're going to do? You're going to mess this up for everybody? Like, we need more of those moments. We need to be calling out the dumb more than we do on a daily basis. It has to happen. So start doing that.
Nice. The hell's Kramer doing?
I don't know. Kramer's in early this morning. He wants to know the Chiefs are drafted, I guess.
Came in here like the White Knight.
Yeah, my goodness.
Are you a documentary guy?
It depends on what it is. I mean,
there's a new one coming to Max.
Oh, yeah? What's it about? Mm-hmm.
Paul Rubin's documentary.
Oh, wow.
P as himself has been releasing May 23rd on HBO Max.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Yeah, okay. I'll watch that. I watched the Oklahoma City documentary the other day on Netflix. Have you seen that yet?
I thought I was the one who talked about it.
Were you the one who talked about it?
Where they break down every single like episode that led up to the Oklahoma City bombing?
It's like a 90-minute Netflix episode. It just came out last week.
Okay, then no.
Yeah, it just came out last week. And so I watched that the other day. And I still maintain that's one of the best, if not the best, museums experiences I've ever had. If you have not been down to Oklahoma City for that bombing museum, it is a tremendous museum. But it came out this year because of the 30th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing.
April 19th.
And they went through the whole thing, and they have video footage of Timothy McVeigh at Waco. like being interviewed by the news at Waco.
Hey,
and I'm like,
oh my,
yeah,
car.
crazy
so
stuff.
If that documentary moved you,
yeah,
go watch Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. So they start at the incident at the bridge, if you're familiar.
Right.
I forget what the bridge's name is called, but that's where it starts. That then leads to Waco. And then I think it was, what, four years later, on the day of Waco, Timothy McVeigh did the Oklahoma City thing.
Yeah, so that was 1995. I think Waco was 92 or 93. It was a couple years after.
And it was on the exact day.
Yeah, exact same day.
And in that documentary, they bring up that interview, and they're like, at the time, a reporter who knew nothing was like interviewing, and he was just like ranting about the government and everything.
Right, yeah.
It's a very compelling documentary.
Oklahoma, it's called.
Yeah, I think so.
Who's it on?
You'd have to just like Google search, like streaming Oklahoma is probably Prime or something like that. But not to get super morbid, I did have a family member in the bombing.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
My stepdad's, I believe it was my stepdad's cousin's child.
Oh, geez.
3.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. Just a sickening thing, yeah. Man. Oh, 3 years my God.
Old. Yeah. But I believe maybe not even that old.
Oh, God. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know how you get up if you lose a child every day. I know a lot of people have. When Jerry Anselmo was in here, lost his son. And, you know, I've known some people over the years that have lost their kids and whatnot. I just don't know how you, like, especially with something like that, how you get up and you move forward, man. Yeah. But, I mean, it was a really good, quick-moving, 90-minute documentary about Oklahoma City. So if you get an opportunity, you know, flip that on the Netflix and watch it. So, yes, documentaries, depending on what they are, I watch them. Right. Pee-wee Herman was a big part of my childhood growing up. I had a foil ball, for God's sakes, yeah. Dusty. I mean, so, like, that's my wheelhouse right there.
My sister had a Pee-wee doll.
Yes. I hate that thing.
And it was terrifying. That's all I remember from that. But
ask my parents. We have the saying, I hate the Pee-wee. Here it is like 40 years later, and we still say that at our house because you'd pull the string on the Pee-wee Herman, and it would be, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, eventually you just get tired of it. You want to beat the hell out of this thing, right? And God, it was awful.
Maybe you guys know more than I do, but to hit the number one story of last night, is there a meteorologist in charge of when and how to decide this that talks to an umpire that then talks to the teams when it comes to rain delays?
I don't know. Usually it's Trevor Vance who does a lot of that with the grounds crew, and he's usually pretty on with the forecast last night. I'm still not sure what went on there last night.
Yeah, so I'm not an
except
expert.
Interviews with dead baseball people on the radio.
I'm not an expert of how this works. I know the text line probably is, so I can either be called an idiot or a moron or like it's on the internet. But like I'm pretty in tune, you know me, with weather. I'm always trying to look at it because of, you know, the events that I like to do throughout the week, play golf or like do yard work, whatever it may be.
Right, yeah.
And I'm looking at the radar yesterday and like kind of following the news and, you know, watching 41 and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, the heavy stuff or it should arrive around like 8:30. Literally hit Lee's Summit last night about 8:45.
Yeah. We had it earlier, obviously, because I'm further west than you are. Yeah, so,
And you had sent it like 7:45, 7:50. The lightning's pretty wild out here.
Yeah, I was sitting outside watching the lightning. My wife comes out screaming at the top of her lungs to get back inside. I'm like, I'm enjoying the show.
Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, the game's supposed to start at 6:40. I know in the past they have started like 30 minutes earlier to kind of get a move on the game because nowadays 30 minutes is almost 3 innings.
It is, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, the night before they were going into the bottom of the sixth at 7:50 because neither team can hit. Now you can't play that into effect. I understand that.
Right.
But like it's a doubleheader. Colorado, you could look into your crystal ball and be like, this game is not going to matter for Colorado. So why wouldn't you just start that game at 6?
Right, and if you have to play 5.5 innings,
and
play
Colorado's
5.5 innings.
And Colorado's down 3-0, they're like, you know what? Bang it. We don't care. We'll get on tomorrow. We're not coming back to Kansas City. This is the one-time shop. Right. It's early on. Whatever. Or if you had to, you could start the game at the actual stopping point today instead of playing two full games. They'll play the classic doubleheader, 1:10 start, Cole Reagan's on the mound. Then they'll make 30 to 45 minutes, whatever, and then start the second game.
Well, they got
to
get out for the draft.
So I didn't know if like that was a possibility, because what I was looking at from what I was hearing, they were like, it's going to hit the metropolitan. It's going to hit the city at like 8:00, game 6:40. Why wouldn't you start at 6? I just thought it was an atrocious call in the way that they decided to do it, because then we waited. And I was like, okay, well, if you're going to wait till 8, because I thought I heard right, maybe I'm wrong. I thought I heard Goldberg talking on the pregame show, like, plan to start first pitch is somewhere around 8:00. I'm like, that's when it's actually
hitting
the city.
That's when it was going
to
hit, yeah.
Which means then now you're going to wait another 2 hours for it to pass through. And
you probably could have played an official game in that time frame.
And then there were people that were like, whoa, there's lightning. No, there wasn't. Like, there wasn't. I know there wasn't. Like, I knew people that were at the game that were literally sitting there going, yeah, it's just cloudy.
Well, just because it was lightning at my house doesn't mean it was lightning at the stadium. Those are worlds apart.
So
they'll be closer together. But right now, they're worlds apart, right?
Yeah, so now, some people are saying that it was Major League Baseball that made the decision on the Royals not playing on time.
But you can't move the game up because you got people with tickets that are trying to get to the game that are expecting a 6:40. They have in the past.
It's only
very
30
rare.
Minutes.
Yeah, very rare. And then you got the TV and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's semantics and all that kind of stuff. It's baseball excuses.
That seemed like a perfect semantic situation to do that.
To move the game up. Hey, this is the only time Colorado's coming here this year. We don't want to have a doubleheader tomorrow. Let's just play this game 30 minutes early and get moving.
Sorry for the inconvenience. We're going to start at 6. Yeah. Hey, I know you guys want to hit some ground balls to each other and throw some balls around. It's game 29 of the season, whatever it is, game 25. And we're just going to okay, cool, sounds good. Or do you guys want to come back tomorrow and play two games on a getaway day?
Right.
Actually, we'll do the first option.
Right, because so, at least the Royals are staying home. Colorado has to travel right. after this. I don't know where they're going, but
they
it's
don't
early
even know
game.
Where they're going.
So
they don't care where they're going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. But I'm sure there's a lot of baseball excuses that will come into play because baseball's the ultimate excuse maker for everything. You got the Angels complaining about flying and not getting enough rest
right.
and stuff like that, which I'm not here for any of these baseball excuses. But I do think it's probably because of the tickets and the people getting to the game on time and,
right.
And whatnot. That's why you can't move it up. Now, if you were going to move it up and planning, which sometimes gets lost, right? You probably should have looked ahead and have made that announcement at like 10 a.m. that, hey, weather is expected today. We're moving the game up to start at 6:10. We're sorry for the inconvenience, but it's the like that requires foresight and thinking yeah. ahead. And it didn't look like any of that was out there yesterday. And now you have, you know, the doubleheader today, which is fine. You do you. But I'm sure the players don't want to participate in the doubleheader. And I'm sure the fans. I mean, you were going to the game last night because, well, it was a night game and that fit into your schedule. And now I'm sure there's some that aren't going to be able to make it and go to that game. They should have really acted early and ahead of time and you know, kind of changed things up a little bit because we were at soccer yesterday and we had about 4 minutes to go in the game. Thunder hit and boom, it was over.
Yeah.
And we had kind of moved on. But I think the Olathe East Tennis was supposed to play yesterday. They canceled that early because they knew the weather was going to be there. You've got to make these decisions early. It just kind of feels like ultimately, I don't know if the ball was dropped or the forecast changed or whatever the case may be, but there was a way to get 5.5 innings of that game in last night at some point in time anyway.
No doubt about it. But it is going to be the draft tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a good one, as it always is, because it's been told that it's going to be a boring draft. It's the worst draft. Binkley's pissed.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, because now there's doubleheaders going to prolong the draft
well,
show.
Well, I think what we ought to do is put the Royals on 6:10 a.m. and put Binkley on 96.5 The Fan. So.
Or Binkley, you tell Vern he's got 24 minutes to do his postgame show.
Yeah, which is fine.
Either way, they're going to sweep Colorado. They'll win two. But it is draft day. It is the biggest day of the year, the NFL, until week one begins.
Well, the schedule release,
yeah, that's
then
right.
OTAs, then mini camp.
Are they at OTAs?
This is phase one.
Oh.
They're you know, they're running around in their underwear at this point, maybe.
Nice. But we all remember, I think.
With the 10th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes, the second quarterback.
It is Patrick Mahomes, the second, not Deshaun Watson. That was the apple of the Reed Dorsey eye in Kansas.
So Patrick Mahomes, I don't like it. I do not like this pick.
Deshaun Watson, I believe, was the best quarterback because all of them have flaws.
Yes.
But I believe the only one out of them going to win a championship,
he's out of the
if
media.
There is one, is Deshaun Watson.
Texas Tech lost bad to like Iowa State this year, I think.
Man.
Like
yeah.
they allow like he's got to be the first quarterback to go in the top 10 if he's the pick who, you know, allowed 70 points
yep.
and just had this terrible record. I don't know.
He allowed 70 points.
And you're that close
mm-hmm.
and you can certainly fill holes to put mm-hmm. you over the top. Why are you drafting a quarterback? Why are you trading up to draft a quarterback that doesn't just have bad footwork? Has
oh, God.
No footwork.
None.
I hear words about Pat Mahomes. These are the words I hear. Undisciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Lacking fundamentals.
Yep.
Immature.
Oh, man.
These are things you hear.
Mahomes, magic.
How you doing?
Man trying to stay alive. Dies. Touchdown.
This man is an artist. He is a phenom. He is a true revelation.
Non-disciplined.
Woo, I love the fact that Chris Carter's on there too. Who are the other people? Do we know who they are?
Well, one of them, Shannon Sharp.
You know, I know that. Yeah. I believe me, I know that. 500 text messages are being emailed to everybody today.
Yeah, dude. And then there's some guy from like Texas Tech. I don't know. Some guy that's like he allowed 70 points. Mahomes
what?
In college.
Was did Mahomes play defense?
Sure,
he
did.
Allowed those 70 points
yep.
all
oh,
by
yeah.
himself.
Oh
right?
yeah. And then it ends with he's a phenom. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
He's actually a 2-time MVP, 3-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time Super Bowl champion. Champion, 9-time, 8-time, 7-time, who gives a time, AFC West champion. That's just always great to bring back
it's
from
fun,
the 2017
right?
NFL draft.
But it also goes to show you how much draft analysts do not know when they are analyzing these players. And that's why you have to take a lot of this with a grain of salt. I found some great numbers about success rates of draft picks we can get to on the other side. You know, when in doubt, grok it up. And the information that was provided about these draft picks that are going to be taken today, you have to keep in perspective, because I think there's a big false narrative for a lot of fans about what the draft is going to kind of give you when you start to select these players. People are thinking they're going to be these Pro Bowler caliber players, and I'm here to tell you, not so fast, my friend.
One question, Bill. A lot of criticism about not taking a quarterback here. Your response?
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Wow. Your neighbor also uses Aspen Lawn.
What year was that?
I don't know.
Because that sounded
Bill Tobin, baby. That's Toby's brother. Coming up on the other side, those percentages and numbers that Bob has for you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I mean, if this doesn't get you going for draft day, doubleheader day, Thursday.
Is this ABDF? Is that who this is playing this song right now?
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. Little ABDF, baby.
That's right. Generic 101, daddy.
Mm-hmm. From the Spectre collection.
Back in Brown is what they call that song. yesterday, your quarterback had some things to say, and he talked about your wide receiver room.
I mean, obviously, everything looks great right now. I mean, getting the guys back healthy, as far as Rashee and having Hollywood fully healthy, and Xavier in year two, I think the offense has a chance to be really, really good. It's just about keeping building. I'm excited to kind of have these guys again. Just with we've had a lot of turnover in the receiving room, and it seems like the core group will be back in its entirety. So the goal is to try to build on it and get even better and try to get back to some of the explosive passing plays that we've done in years past.
Yeah, exactly what I told you yesterday was the goal this year, didn't I? Oh, we're going to get back to the high-flying aerial attack. And then the quarterback said it the same day. So we know where we're going. Up in the air, baby. Let's do it.
Woo. That does get me a little excited, because I do want to see that explosive offense.
They're ready. I can tell you just from having conversations, they're ready. Like, everybody on that team is like, all right, enough of this. Let's go. Let's get back to 2018 and launch bombs away, man. Let's just start attacking downfield and doing what we used to do, you know, and having that kind of fun. And I think this offense is going to be electric this year, boogie, woogie, woogie, because we've got the last year of Travis Kelce, too. And I think he really wants to go out, you know, so Carrington can, you know, stop saying he's washed and things of that nature. I think Travis Kelce wants to have a huge year too, obviously. Who doesn't in their last year? And I think they want to have a huge year offensively for Travis Kelce. I think this is going to be a fun year, man. I'm excited about this. To have everybody healthy too, finally. You know, Hollywood Brown hopefully can stay healthy, and Rashee Rice can stay healthy, and Xavier Worthy's there now, and he can stay healthy, and Travis and whatever running back you're going to draft in the third round. Like, I'm really, really excited for what this offense can do, because I think there also is a bad taste from the Super Bowl, obviously, and just a bad taste over the last couple of years of people are saying that they're down. The goal is this year is to light up the scoreboard, and I think we're going to have some fun watching these guys this year.
I think your fantasy mind goes there, because you think of like every receiver that he mentions, and you think of Patrick Mahomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, Rashee Rice, you know, your yak guy over the middle, like he's the one that, you know, catches the 7-yard drag route and then takes it for 25. You think of Xavier Worthy as your over-the-top option. You think of Hollywood Brown, that could be a hybrid in between both of those. I'm not saying that Hollywood Brown needs to be the guy that goes out there and, you know, hits a, you know, streak pattern down the field for a home run. He could if he wanted to, I think. But also, he's kind of the hybrid of Rice and Worthy. And then you throw in a veteran like Travis Kelce, who has nothing to prove, but maybe something to prove in his last year in the NFL, per se.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you have your spearheaded running back duo that's just, you know, basically the nuts and bolts of your offense. They're the ones that get the tough yardage through the trenches. They're the ones that are going to keep the chains moving. And if you kind of, like, play April 25th, draft day, offensive coordinator, you think that's maybe where this explosive offense comes, because you're like, okay, I can hand the ball off, you know, and get, you know, 2 or 3 yards here with Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco or whoever running back they may draft might have a minimal role in that as well. And then you think, okay, like maybe teams will get tired of giving up that 3 and 4 yards and giving up, you know, the 5 yard first down play. Guys, you have to realize they have to have an offensive line to block too. We understand. Uh-huh. But also you think of your fantasy land, what it could be and what you hear him say and where the eagerness may kick in is that then it's like, okay, this kind of has that similar type of feel of offense that that 2018 team had, right? You had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and that sort of, you know, different dynamic in receiver. And now you're going to bring in Rashee Rice, who will probably be suspended, by the way.
I heard that. Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, who's got the speed out of this building. And then Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster still there as
back
well.
Too, yeah.
Travis Kelce's there. And, you know, yeah, it's not like they have anything to prove. I know that's not what I'm trying to say, but I think they kind of want to get back to what made them electric and almost unstoppable. Now, they didn't have that great defense then. But again, who's to say they can't go out there and be that team this year that was like the Detroit Lions winning games 45-9, you know, putting up a 50-piece in a couple of games. I would love it. It's obviously entertaining. You would love to see that. That would mean that you would have a lot of trends going towards MVP numbers, mm-hmm. towards Patrick Mahomes.
What would people complain about, though, from the offensive standpoint if they did go out there and put up 40 points per game? Like, what would people bitch about? Left tackle. But how do we know left tackle is not going to be good? Like, you'd kind of, you know, snarkingly, you know, text lined it a little bit and said, they don't have an offensive line. They do have an offensive line. They've got a very good offensive line. They have a competition at left guard, which is good for everybody. They've got arguably the best center in the NFL. They got arguably the best right guard in the NFL. Juwan Taylor, say what you want about the guy. He's very good right tackle.
Yep.
He may show up a little early at times, but he's a very good right tackle. And you just went out and spent money on Jalen Moore to play left tackle. Like, I know they're not the household names maybe or whatever, and Joe Tooney was traded, and people think that there's no offensive line. But there very much is an offensive line here in Kansas City. And I think there is that goal. Like, this is Travis Kelce's senior year, right? He's got, I don't want to say he's got that senioritis because that's a bad term to use, but he wants to go out and make sure that Sandemus High remembered him, right? And so he's going to go out there and he's going to want to have a big year. Mahomes is going to want him to have a big year because this is their last run together. This is their last opportunity to show everybody and leave that final taste in their mouth of what the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce duo clearly was. And because of that, I still think they're going to have a big year. Like, there's so much riding, if you will, on this season from an offensive standpoint. They're ready to get back to where they were. They're ready to send Travis Kelce out a hero, and they're ready to go out there and put up points again like they were doing in 2018 and 2019.
Mm-hmm. Good text of what people might complain about, that they don't run the ball and or third and short is still our downfall.
Well, we know that. That's never, as long as Andy Reid's the head coach, third and short. I mean, that's just an issue with Andy Reid. And if that's the worst thing that we take away from this era of Chiefs football is that they couldn't convert third and one, that's probably what we're going to end up taking away from it.
Speaking of eras of the Chiefs football, there is the NFL draft tonight. Don't forget, tonight at the Landing Inn Liberty, starting at 6 p.m., we will be there all in attendance. You have a chance at $965 cash prize. Make sure you fill out your draft sheet. Turn it in before the first pick is on the clock. One player per right drafted. If you get the right team, 3 points. You also have an opportunity to win a Juwan Taylor football or helmet signed by him as well. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll all be there hanging out, talking to you all, smashing chicken fingers and Big Bob's Bavarian pretzels, $9.65 as well. But eras of the draft and success rates of the NFL and draft picks.
It's not as good as people think, right? Like, everybody thinks you're going to load up, you know, get a first round draft pick, and this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. And so I went to Grok, not Gronk, but Grok, because that's what you use now with the AI stuff. And I typed in, you know, success rates of NFL draft picks just to kind of see what the information was. And for me, it was kind of surprising, quite frankly. About 53% of first round picks from 2011 to 2017 indicate a decent but unspectacular career. 31% of first round draft picks sign a second contract with their drafting team, suggesting a higher bust rate than expected. Picks 1 through 14 have an 80% success rate as a 3-year starter, dropping to 60% for picks 15 to 25 and 50% for picks 26 to 32 over the last 10 years or so. Around 40% of first round picks are considered busts, 60% hit rate for offensive linemen this generation of drafting in the first round. Running backs and centers, 60 to 70% hit rate. Quarterbacks have a 46% hit rate in the first round in this century. Wide receivers, about a 40% hit rate. Cornerbacks and edge rushers, about a 30 to 40% hit rate in the NFL. So essentially what you're looking at in the first round, 53% of players that are drafted in the first round get out of that kind of first contract and become decent players. You're not going to get a lot of great players in the first round of this draft. And that's what people seemingly fail to realize, is that people criticize first round picks all the time. Half of the first round picks that are going to be picked tonight are never going to amount to anything in the NFL.
Maybe I don't know, overlooking the number. I think almost 50% of, in 100 years, almost 50% of quarterbacks have not been busts. I feel like that's kind of nice. 46% was what are successful. Is that what that said?
46% hit rate from 2000 to 2019. 26 of 56 quarterbacks have been hits that have been drafted from the year 2000 to the year 2019. Less than 50%.
And this is defining a hit as someone who stayed in the NFL?
Gets their second contract.
Okay.
I would say it's
not, hey, we're not talking about a lot. Say,
it's not
know?
A lot. That's not hard. Yeah. To do as a quarterback, that's a lot easier than other positions.
Yeah.
So the quarterbacks are not good. Like you have to be, that's why I go back, you have to be in that right situation. Patrick Mahomes isn't a superstar if he's drafted by any other team. He's a good quarterback in this league. Mm. He is not a superstar in this league. I promise you, he is not a superstar in this league. He wouldn't have had Alex Smith for that first year. He wouldn't have been with Andy Reid. If he was drafted by the Giants, he'd be on his third coach, getting ready to be on his fourth head coach. Quarterbacks do not have success in that era. Patrick Mahomes actually is the outlier more than the norm in all of this. The norm is that these guys fail. Patrick Mahomes is kind of the outlier in all of this. So defining success for you, Mac, a second contract, a starter for 2.5 to 3 years, and snap counts reaching 2/3 of the average snap percentage of their position's top 32 players.
Okay. Yeah, that's still...
It makes it even worse, quite honestly.
Yeah, seriously. A few years, and you play sometimes.
2.5 to 3 years is considered a good... Like, the average NFL career is 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Three and a half years.
So, according to that algorithm, Daniel Jones was a hit.
That's a hit?
Wow. Okay. I do think Mahomes would be a superstar outside of Kansas City. I don't think that he would have... Because does a superstar define as, like, talent or, like, success rate in championships? Like, I don't believe, I think I'm good on this. I don't believe he has the championship success rate, but I don't think that, like, Andy Reid taught him his talent. I don't think that's it. I think he's used his talent to, like, explore his offensive, like, mindset, which has been each one, like, Andy Reid, who's to say Andy Reid's still in Kansas City if he doesn't have Patrick Mahomes?
Well, then he's probably retired by now.
Or
yeah,
he's
no question.
Back in the same situation he was at in Philadelphia.
Right. No, they're perfect for each other.
So, not only that, but I think if you, like, Jaden Daniels is a superstar. Like, in Washington, it took 1 year. He didn't win anything.
But the eye test tells you who superstars are. That's kind of, yeah.
Which I think you would have that for Mahomes if he was in Cleveland or New York or anywhere. I think he's just a winner and knows how to play the sport better than anybody else. Now, yes, Andy Reid has taught him that, and he didn't have Alex Smith. So there would be maybe not the early on crispiness that was Patrick Mahomes, but, like, I think if he was anywhere else, he would still have the talent and would make those plays because, you know, Andy Reid's not out there in that body doing that. That's just Mahomes. But again, having the players around him, having the system has been just an expedited shot to superstardom. Is he where he's at as a person now? No. Is he a superstar? I do believe so.
I also believe that Josh Allen and Joe Burrow probably would have Super Bowl championships if Mahomes wasn't drafted by Kansas City, because I don't think any other team would have dominated this era like the Chiefs have dominated. And it's all because of the relationship, if you will, but it's not just because of Mahomes or just because of Andy Reid. It's the perfect marriage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is like you could not, like, other than
Belichick and Brady,
and then obviously got rocky at the end, you know, and whatnot, and Brady had to leave, and Bill had to go find a 23-year-old. I don't feel like that's ever happening here. I think those two guys, Andy and Patrick, are just so in tune and on the same page and have the same goals, and everything's about the team, the team, the team. I don't think we're going to have that situation. But, you know, if he's drafted by somebody else, we don't see a dominant team right now. We've had three, I think, in my opinion anyway, head coach quarterback relationships that are better than you've ever seen. Obviously the Bill Belichick one, the Joe Montana one with Bill Walsh, and then obviously this one now with Andy Reid. The Joe Montana one ended kind of ugly in San Francisco. He ended up here. Obviously the Brady one ended pretty ugly in New England. I don't see this one ending ugly because I think, both of these guys have that same goal in mind. They're the same brain. They say the same things. They use the same cliches. They talk about the same stuff. Like, they are wired together. And I think that ultimately is what's going to keep this thing going, is that you have a head coach and a quarterback who are the best to ever do what they've ever done, and neither of them has an ego about it.
Yeah, I mean, two things. I would say that you talk about perfect for each other, but if they would be successful without each other. Brady went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl in his 40s, right? Or maybe not 40 when he won it, but close to it enough. And you could tell that, you know, something was better than the other. I'm not saying that Mahomes is better than Reed or Reed's better than Mahomes, but like, you can be successful outside of what you originally came up with and what you were branded as. But, you know, Brady obviously took a lot of what he knew, everything that he knew in New England, and took it over to Tampa Bay, and they, you know, he had a really good situation there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, with quarterback head coach combination, I would put Lamar and Jim Harbaugh in there.
It's a good one. Yeah.
Or John Harbaugh, I'm sorry. Because, like, they've been together for a while. They've had success. Not the ultimate success.
Right.
But
Lamar has a championship if Mahomes isn't in Kansas City, too.
More than likely. I mean, maybe last year.
He's not the playoff performer that the other two are. Not yet.
Maybe 2 years ago, though, when they hosted that AFC championship game, they win that game and they get to the Super Bowl. I do think all three of those quarterbacks have a championship. At least Josh Allen has been to a Super Bowl. Whether or not he pees down a leg and loses to Mahomes if he was with an NFC team or something, you know, in the Super Bowl. But no, I think the Mahomes pick has just changed the trajectory of everything in the NFL. It's created a league where, man, like, if Josh Allen gets one championship now, that should be enough to carry Josh Allen. But in the real world, like, that we always talk about, you got to win two. You know, Peyton Manning didn't arrive till he got one with no neck, you know, and the defense carried him to a championship. You got to win two, right? We got to do all this kind of stuff and win double championships. But I think in this era, if Josh Allen were to win a Super Bowl, forget about it. His legacy is done. Like,
sealed.
You're a Hall of Famer, done, ready to go. You're considered one of the greats. You won a Super Bowl in an era that was owned by Patrick Mahomes.
In Buffalo.
I mean, yeah, because you could use the NBA analogy that I bet you would agree with this, that Clyde and Elijah Wan's legacy was sealed once they won that in Houston.
Once
they didn't get Jordan in their way and they could do their own thing,
It
was like, okay, there's the duo in Houston. They're set for life. Even though they'd already had accolades way before that, you're like, oh, yeah, Elijah Wan, one of the best centers in basketball's history. Clyde the Glide, you got a nickname like that, you're definitely stapled in NBA history. Boom. Now it's good.
You can
go to bed and rest your head at night and be like, you know, I don't have to be like, you know, Isaiah Thomas, like, damn, Michael Jordan guy.
Standards are different for different athletes. So Mahomes has a different standard. Josh Allen would, you know, all these
Mahomes' standard is to beat Brady.
That's it.
That's it, right?
He will fail it unless he does that.
Well, in some people's eyes, he will. But I mean, like, that's the level that we've set for Patrick Mahomes. Got to pass Tom Brady. Came out of the gate hot, got to pass Tom Brady. For Josh Allen, you win one Super Bowl, man.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a conquering hero. You're a conquering. Nobody will remember Jim Kelly in Buffalo, right?
Look at Matthew Stafford. Sealed.
Done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have to do anything else.
Yep.
Good. He won a title.
Yeah.
He got out of Detroit, won a Super Bowl.
And people forget about Matthew Stafford, too. Like, his legacy's pretty damn good.
Jalen Hurts, legacy, sealed.
Done.
Yeah.
Hey, he beat Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl.
Enjoy the rest of your career.
Yep.
They'll have fun with it.
Different sport, but Kobe won three chips in a row, and people are like, can he do it without Shaq? Until he won again.
Without Shaq.
Without Shaq. People are all right. Now
Powell.
Why do we keep moving the line on all of this stuff? Like, are we ever going to just sit down and go, all right, we're watching greatness, right? I sent you guys that topic yesterday that somebody's like, who is the undisputed great in their sport? And you immediately fired back Jordan, which is the answer. That's the only one. I mean,
I'd say Gretzky. That'd be my answer.
Ovechkin would have a conversation with you now, too.
I don't think so.
I believe the assist numbers would make that.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Hall, Gordie Howe, all the greats from back in the day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see any of them play.
That's true. I
immediately almost said Tiger, but then I'm like, there's Jack. He never caught Jack.
But, I mean,
Bron will never catch Jordan.
No.
Mahomes probably won't ever catch Brady.
Right.
And that's what it is.
And who's the greatest baseball player of all time? Because most people will tell you, Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Okay.
Shohei Ohtani.
And then we have the Shohei Ohtani conversation, right? You have the Babe Ruth conversation. But so many people over the years will tell you Willie Mays is the best baseball player that they've ever seen play.
Barry Bonds.
Bonds could be in the conversation as well.
Seems like Shohei got that title really quick.
Real fast.
Well, when you do when you do things like that,
yeah,
where you can win MVP, Cy Young, and do a 50-50 season and win a World Series, ain't done.
Yeah.
It's over, man.
What if he wins the Cy Young and MVP in the same season?
He's already almost done that.
Do you think they would allow that? You think the baseball... Because they're stodgy baseball writers.
Not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never been done before, so it can't happen.
If he does, his nickname should just be the MVP. Because you won the MVP of pitching, the MVP, or Mr. Like, I don't know. Unstoppable? I don't know.
I mean, I would love him to win the Cy Young and MVP in the same year. I think it would be the greatest thing we'd ever seen in sports.
What if he did this? And this is just where my mind went. What if he won the Triple Crown in pitching and batting?
Oh, my God.
Debate over? Because you can do that in pitching, right?
Yeah.
ERA, strikeouts, and wins.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know how to do it in baseball. Average, homers, RBIs. Yeah.
He could literally... for the Dodgers will hold him back with wins, though. He needs to go to the Mets.
I mean, he could literally do that. That's the insane probability of Shohei.
I mean, if he did that and then didn't win the Cy Young and the MVP, who didn't vote for Shohei?
it'd be tough. Okay. So, coming up, favorite draft memories. We will get to that, and plus we'll get back to a question I want to ask you guys, because there are players in this draft, and if you're the Chiefs and you had your choice at any player in that draft, I want to know who you guys would pick and why. Coming up on the other side, 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, baby. Allison in shackles.
See, I was going to say Lincoln Garden.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Washington Garden. Remember Washington Square Park? Remember when that was a story?
Remember that was
and
a story?
Gone.
And they put up a billboard I saw downtown begging them. And then it comes out yesterday, Kansas City, Missouri is one of the 10 deadliest cities in the world or something like that. Don't want to go to a ballpark downtown, I'll tell you that right now. Ooh, that was a scary survey that came out on Channel 5 yesterday.
Let me ask you something, Mac. Bob, if you could pick one player in the NFL draft this year to go to your Kansas City Chiefs, who would it be and why?
Okay, so this is, I saw a story, I think it was on CBS Sports, about the ideal pick for every team, right? Mm. This is where we are right now. Just whoever you think. So, like, a bunch of teams had, like, Travis Hunter. A couple of them had Shador Sanders. I'm like, wait a second. But they're, like, the ideal pick for every team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to dodge bullets on this one from you guys. But I'm gonna say the running back, Genty. I think he would be the ideal pick for the Chiefs. Now, all things being equal, not worried about the first round label and all of that kind of stuff, like the ideal fit for this offense, I think Genty would be that type of guy. I think he'd be phenomenal in this offense right now. I also think Luther Burden would be a nice fit in this offense,
he'd be
too.
So good. Yeah.
And if he's sitting there at 31, it's going to be hard for not everybody to get excited. Like, oh my God, let's go get Luther Burden, you know, and whatnot. I don't know if they do. I don't know where they have him ranked or whatnot. But I can tell you right now, like, the perfect pick, I'd love to get Genty in here, but I know he's not going to land out of the top five. And with a first round grade and a very, very limited type of success rate for these first round picks, especially running backs, you know, it's hard for me to say, go ahead and take him in the first round. And it's a good thing because he'll be gone by the time the Chiefs pick there.
I may surprise you, but I'm so with you on this. And I'm so anti running back in the first round.
I am too. I just completely.
But like with the Chiefs, what we've seen when they've had Kareem Hunt for that one season when he was, I know it's, you know, only 1,100 yards or whatever he had, but still he led the league in rushing. He was so good in the passing
game. And
where
was he drafted though?
Yeah, way back.
Third
exactly.
round,
yes.
Right?
And
third
imagine
round pick. Yeah.
You draft the premier, what is talked about being the next Saquon Barkley type talent to the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, sign me up, dude. I'm so in on this. Yeah, everyone's talking about, oh, we need to get receivers who can catch. All that goes down a big tick if you've got one of the best backs in the league.
Yeah, it would be crazy to get like all things being equal and taking out all the excuses and the narratives and all that kind of stuff. Like the perfect fit for this team would be a star running back right now. Yeah.
No doubt about it. I would go with Abdul Carter.
That's a good pick, too.
Yeah,
he's the best player in the draft.
Yeah, the reason I say this is he would be the face of your defense for the next 8 years. He comes in to the Chiefs. He would be in that next wave of superstars in Kansas City as you see Travis Kelce slowly but surely fade out of the team perspective because he possibly could retire. You look at Chris Jones getting older. What do you build the team around? One of the two wide receivers, hate to break it to you, probably not going to be with this team forever, and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. I look at that as like a situation when it comes to Cincinnati. We all sat here and dogged them to be like, yo, you're going to pay all these offensive weapons, but you're not going to pay defensive weapons. We know how Brett Veach operates. He's going to look at one of those two guys and say, okay.
Why don't I be getting traded, right?
And then you throw in Abdul Carter, and it's like, okay, where does this next era of the Chiefs go? Well, now it's spearheaded by Patrick Mahomes and Abdul Carter, who could be the next, you know, complete wrecker of a backfield quarterback guy that you hadn't had since Derek Thomas, who was the face of your franchise for many years with him and Neil. And so I think with his talent and his like potential ceiling, it'd be kind of cool to see him in like Chiefs red with Mahomes as like he's the captain of the offense, Abdul Carter, the captain of defense. Again, this all goes back to, who could you imagine, or who would you like to see the Chiefs draft if you could take anyone in the draft?
Yeah, no strings attached. Any players available when they pick. We're having fun. We're not getting into semantics. We're not worried about they pick 31 and all these guys would be gone. If you could pick anybody for the Chiefs, who would you pick? It's a simple, fun question. And so you don't have to worry about logistics and all of that kind of stuff. Just tell us who you think the best fit would be for this organization. And I love the Abdul Carter one, and I love the reasoning that you have for it as well, because you're right. You're going to start to need that new leader on defense as Chris Jones begins to kind of go that way towards, you know, retirement and moving away from the NFL. Not we're saying that he's retiring tomorrow, but
he's 31.
Sooner rather than later on this, right? And you're going to need that next leader with McDuffie and Bolton and those guys on the defensive side of the ball. You need that star defensive lineman. Abdul Carter could be that guy.
We go to the draft tonight. It'll be starting at 7 p.m. on the Four Letter Network, but we'll be starting our show or the draft show, hopefully, immediately after the Royals doubleheader is over. We'll keep you updated on that as well. They play at 1:10 and 4:40 today. Binkley and Unicero, they'll be in studio today at 9 a.m. We'll have Ben Maller at 7:15, and we'll have there's one more I'm missing. Why am I missing it? Oh, Alex Gold at 8:45 to give you some draft props. But the draft also brings a lot of memories. I know that there's a lot of you that probably remember when they selected D. Ford.
I do.
I didn't know who he was. And then we all remember the Patrick Mahomes thing. But we also remember like the little things of the draft and memories that probably shouldn't last long, but unfortunately they do because of either the awkwardness or the hilariousness of it. And I don't know if you guys have any favorite memories, but where I start off is just the bong gas mask of Laramie Tunzel. Mm-hmm. Like randomly stepdad sends this picture to social media, and all of a sudden everyone's like, what in the world?
Yeah,
that one's always one for me. CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend or whoever that was that took his cell phone, and then
CeeDee Lamb grabbing the phone away.
Man, it was great. Hilarious. Russell Wilson's wife.
Do we know if they're still together, by the way, CeeDee Lamb and the girl who was with him at the draft?
But I remember the reaction that Russell Wilson's wife at the time, or maybe it was his fiance or girlfriend, but then became his wife, and then they split right before he set the record-setting deal. Her reaction, which everybody on the thing on X was like, look at her. She's like, I'm set for life. And Russ is like, wait 3 years.
Yeah.
So that one was always funny to me. But obviously there are many that are in there. I think there was one, I think it was Jalen Waddle got drafted. His entire family was in the room.
Oh, yeah, trying to get a hug with him.
And he just immediately left before anybody could do anything.
That was on the internet yesterday. Yeah. I was watching that laughing.
Nope, I'm out. I'm going to go hug my agent. That's the guy that means the most to me right now. Sorry, fam.
But, yeah, I mean, I'll be back, mom and dad, but we got to take care of some business. For me, one of the great moments, and you named like some of the best ones, the Brett Favre one of him sitting on the bed is always going to be really good in jorts because it's just so perfect of the time and the era that we were in with Brett Favre in the 90s. It was a perfect 90s football picture. You had that. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers dropping was really good. Brady Quinn kind of dropping, very good as well. But I still think one of the best moments for me in the draft is Mac Jones doing that badass walk to the podium after he got picked, looking like Vince McMahon strutting out there like that in his mom jeans. Like, that to me will always be like, that was Mac Jones' greatest moment in the NFL, was walking out after finally hearing his name called by the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick.
And that's awesome.
That will always be one for me that I just laugh at. The Laramie Tunsil one is, I mean,
that's legendary.
It's legend. Imagine if that was just 10 years later. Nobody would have cared.
People are like, cool.
Yeah, so nobody. What? But everybody lost their bleep that day because of that. And it was a dumb picture to tweet out by his stepdad or whoever did that. Like, what are we trying to do here? You're sabotaging the kid on draft night, man, you dope.
Lamar dropping was a pretty big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel, I was a huge Manziel and A&M guy, so watching that, I was like, no, he kept falling.
Well, he was no good. He never should have been drafted. I mean, that poor guy. That's all self-inflicted.
Yes.
But the D-Ford draft pick you mentioned, and I think that D-Ford draft pick will go down, and you'll look back at that pick and realize that was a very important pick because it showed you what this organization is all about. When they drafted D-Ford, they did not need that position filled, but they knew eventually they were going to need that position filled. That was the beginning of when they really started to draft for the next couple of years as opposed to just that moment, because I remember sitting there and D-Ford got picked and I'm like, God, why? You got Tomba, you got Justin, you don't need him. Boy, you did need D-Ford. And so that goes to show you, I think the first draft that I realized Andy Reid and company really have a stranglehold on what they're doing. They understand what they're doing. I look back at that D-Ford pick a lot and realize, man, that was foreshadowing to where we are now, because you even played the Patrick Mahomes highlight earlier where somebody goes, I don't know what they're doing. They've got a quarterback. They should be drafting a weapon instead of for the future. It's like, nah, they're setting the table for the future. That D-Ford pick is very, very, very important in the landscape of the way that the Chiefs draft.
Yeah, and in the fifth round, I think they would draft that weapon. Or was that the year before? Tyreek was the year before.
Yeah, Tyreek was 16.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. They'd already had the weapon. Good studying. Who the hell's Mel Kiper anyway?
They had Tyreek and they had Travis already on the team. They were building their team, and then they drafted the quarterback to kind of, you know, change that narrative.
That building will continue to be built tonight, as the draft is tonight at 7 o'clock. We will all be at the Landing in Liberty. We hope to see you there. Coming up on the other side, Mitch Holtis might have given us some foreshadowing as well. We'll explain here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, well, yo, man.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, guys, it's Dusty.